This morning, we're beginning a brand new sermon series from the book of 1 Peter. Today's title is A Chosen People, A Chosen People. Now, after going through 1 Peter and looking on into 2 Peter, I've made a decision. Over the next several months, we are going to work our way through 1 Peter and 2 Peter. I believe there's some timely information that will benefit us as believers. It is amazing to me how timeless the Word of God is. The Holy Spirit knows what needs to be penned for our hearts of all ages and of all times. And so it's very valuable. Now, some might still say, well, why do we need to study these books at this time? Well, first of all, I want you to know 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 reminds us all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, how many are excited about that one? Correcting, yeah, and training in righteousness, verse 17, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I want you to be equipped. So we're going to hear what the Scripture has to tell us from 1 and 2 Peter. A second reason I believe we need to study these is I believe Peter is addressing people who are under stress, under the stress of life. It's a book written to those who feel the pressure of a hostile society. They know the discomfort of life and the demands of life. These believers that Peter is speaking to or writing to were facing actually a real threat of persecution. These people have been exiled. They've been forced to leave their home because of their faith. Now, certainly, I believe that would have unsettled them and possibly caused confusion in their home. And I believe there are Christians today who are feeling unsettled, probably confused at everything going on in our world today. And so I believe it is pertinent for us to hear what Peter has to say. A third reason for 1 and 2 Peter. I believe the two books are like manuals for Christians. And you're going to see that. They're full of practical truth. And if you follow it, it will produce hope in your life for those who are called and chosen by God. Amen? So church, this is going to be just kind of solid teaching for real problems that we're facing. Now, there's several themes in the first book of Peter that he writes, this first letter. But two themes that I believe kind of everything seems to wrap around. And these are the two themes. First one is, this world is not our home. This world is not our home. Everybody say it with me. This world is not our home. Peter says, we're a royal priesthood. God has something better for us, amen? The second theme, I believe, is hope amid suffering. Peter tells us we may suffer now. He puts it this way, for a little while. How many of you feel like it's been a little while? Yeah. Well, let me tell you, your life is like a wisp. I tell you, our time here in comparison to eternity is short. And so it's just a little while. But we have to remember, the hope we have as believers is anchored to the character and to the promises of our God. Amen? And God has a future for us. Amen? Amen. Listen to how Peter wraps up his very first letter in 1 Peter 5, jumping all the way to verse 12 and the second half of verse 12. He says, my purpose, does that help us from Peter? My purpose in writing is to encourage you and to assure you that what you are experiencing is truly part of God's grace for you. So stand firm in this grace. God is with us, he says. And whatever you're experiencing, God's grace will carry you through. Amen? Heavenly Father, today as we delve into the very just first two verses of this little letter, I pray that you will help us to be people who stand firm. Lord, people who can open their hearts to what You spoke through Peter. We're going to hear this again. But God, we open our hearts because we want to hear and do and live like we're supposed to as believers. In Jesus' name, help us, we pray. Amen. Again, I gave you three reasons why I think the whole study, but let me kind of go into that a little bit deeper this morning. I want to show you three principles in the very first two verses that will help serve as a foundation for the entire study, okay? The first principle really is this, for the study, is this. Peter speaks as an apostle. Peter speaks as an apostle. And I think if an apostle is speaking to us, we ought to listen. How many of you, when you get mail from the post office, the first thing you do is look at the return address? Anybody? Yeah. We do. The first thing. Why? Because we want to know who it's from. When I read letters that somebody, you know, anonymous letters that somebody sometimes gives me, I jump to the very end to see who it's from first. Because I want to be able to read it based on what I might know or I have knowledge of. The same is true of email. How many get emails or Facebook or Twitter or blog posts? How many identify where it came from first? I do. I don't know if you're like me or not, but if I don't know who it's from, many times I never look at it any further. Right? If there is an email or a mail that comes from family member, comes from church family, comes from a friend, I open it and give it attention. I think the same ought to be true when we read the very opening of this letter from Peter. The very first thing he does is identifies himself as an apostle. 1 Peter 1, the very first opening statement, Peter, an apostle of who? Of Jesus Christ. Now, the very first apostles were those who had been with Jesus. They were given special authority by Jesus. Listen to Matthew 10, verse 1. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. Powerful. Listen to verse 2. These are the names of the what? 12 apostles. First, Simon, who was called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. I believe that God was at work in all of these men, preparing them for their future life call. In fact, that even holds true for Judas. Now, those 11 that remained faithful, those that were called to write gospels, those that were to minister to the churches, those that were to write letters to the churches, God was growing each of these apostles and getting them ready for what he wanted them to do in the future. Listen to Peter as he tells us this in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We receive honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, "This is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. Peter was there that day when Jesus was transfigured and the voice came. Peter was a witness of the work and the ministry of Jesus Christ, of the character. That's why Peter in 2 Peter writes this in verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 19 of 2 Peter. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it. Let me repeat that. And you will do well to pay attention to it. as to a light shining in a dark place. How many been in that dark? I'm looking for the light. Until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And Peter's saying, listen, God is moving upon me to write this. Let me remind you of a few things. Peter was just a normal guy, right? I mean, he actually worked as a fisherman. How many of you know Peter had a unique personality? From what we see, he can be impulsive at times. His eagerness got him in trouble at times. Is anybody like that? Don't raise your hand. Maybe you need to know that. And if you've read anything in the life of Peter from the Gospels, you quickly become aware of the many failures that Peter had. However, as God has grown him, as the Holy Spirit has moved upon him, in fact, Jesus has ascended and risen, gone into heaven for about 30 years. And Peter's been watching the church and everything it's going through. And now he begins to pen these letters to speak to God's people. He speaks now with authority, and the Holy Spirit is leading him to write these letters. So I believe today it would be beneficial for us to listen and to pay attention to the words of Peter and to do so with great seriousness. Because the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us through Peter's letter, and so we ought to pay attention. Amen? Let me read the whole verse of verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. The first foundation, I really think, for our study is this. Peter speaks as an apostle. That's so important. But secondly, Peter is writing to temporary residents in this world. Temporary residents. Church, did you know that's who we are? And that's who his first audience was. In Peter's first letter, Peter's writing to the Christians who have been scattered as foreigners throughout the provinces that he listed. The people to whom Peter is writing were foreigners both literally and figuratively. There are some who are foreigners to Michigan in this place today. How many were born somewhere other than Michigan? We're foreigners. How many of you are Michiganders? I can't raise my hand. I'm becoming one. But yeah, you're Michiganders. Let me ask this question. How many were born right here in Northville? Were you born in a home? There is no hospital here, but yeah. So she is our only real native here. All the rest of us are foreigners in Northville Township today. Okay? That's the kind of the literal side. They were displaced from their home. But the figurative side, Peter speaks to in verse 17. Listen to it. And remember that the Heavenly Father, to whom you pray, has no favorites. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of him. Why? Or when? During your time here as temporary residents. We're just temporary. That's who he's writing to. Getting them to say, I know you're displaced, but I want you to realize your displacement is not really where you live. It's not really your home. Church, our home, our real home is heaven. We are living for heaven. As believers, we are temporary residents. Though we are children of God here on this earth, it's just temporary. And Peter understood that being a true follower of Christ is going to make you a foreigner and an outsider in this world. That's because when we became a follower of Jesus Christ, we started down a different course than the rest of the world. if I could put it this way, and I know we're in winter time, but summer's coming, but here's the statement. You are swimming against the current of this world. We are. Again, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners, keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Church, since we're only here with temporary status, we are to be living for Jesus and looking forward to our new home in heaven one day. In fact, I want you to hear some believers from the past in Hebrews chapter 11, the greatest faith chapter. We are told that these faithful people in the history of God's kingdom, listen about them as the author states this in reference to them. Hebrews 11, 13. All these people died still believing what God had promised to them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. They agreed, catch this, they agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. Obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country they can call their own. Listen to verse 15. If they had longed for the country they came from, they could have gone back. Verse 16. But they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. Church, I want you to understand, and this statement may become more and more real in the coming days, but if you will live like a Christian in this world, as a believer who is following Jesus, that will make you an outsider in this world. It will make you a foreigner in this world more and more. And that's because as a believer, let me make some statements. We have different values. We pursue holiness above happiness. We have different truth. God's word is our final authority. We have a different definition of life. We are more about our relationship with God than our length of years. Amen? We have a different approach to material things. They are tools rather than treasures. We have a different definition of success. It is faithfulness over applause. And we have a different approach to relationships. We are about commitment over pleasure. Church, we are different. We no longer think like the rest of the world. We need to let our convictions, our conversations, our conclusions come from the Word of God, not what the world thinks. And listen, the more faithfully you follow Jesus Christ, the more different you will be. Church, I want you to know we've been chosen by God to be children that represent Him on this earth. And we will do so until our time is finished here on earth and we finally get to go home. Also, I need to let you know if you're going to be different, you may become a target. You need to realize that like those of old that did. And embrace it. Recognize I am a foreigner. I am a nomad here. And if you embrace it, you won't be surprised or offended or even discouraged when the world responds to you different than you want them to as a believer of Jesus Christ. And also, could I remind you, don't spend your time trying to fit in to this world. You cannot fit in to this world and still be faithful to Jesus. We as Christians are a chosen people, and we need to anchor our hope in that. Amen? A third foundation, I believe, is that in this study is that Peter encourages the called. Listen to verse 2. You who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ as sprinkled with His blood, grace and peace be yours in abundance. Peter tells us that we are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Now let me go to the word chosen for a moment. Chosen is of the same root word we've talked about for the last 2 weeks, the call. It's called out. This is what we spent 2 weeks talking about so we would understand what God is doing, because we are about the call, amen? And all of the call. You're called by God, let's fulfill the call. He's called us to salvation, right? He's called us to holiness. So we've got to respond to that. God has been involved, whether you recognize it or not, in every aspect of your life, all the way back to your conception. In fact, God's been pursuing you since the day you were born. And you need to know how committed God is to you. God chose you and wants you to be a part of his kingdom. And God will not give up on you easily. 2 Peter 3:9 tells us the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God has chosen, listen, that everyone has the opportunity to be saved. God has called people out. And yes, we need to respond to that call. God wants you to know him and experience eternity with him. Just give your life to him and surrender your life. He's been calling you. Here's Peter's point. He's writing to believers who have been scattered, of course, to different places. They're feeling alone. They're feeling attacked. They're feeling defeated. They're feeling tossed aside by the world. And Peter is saying, let me encourage you. Get your focus right. And instead of drawing your sense of worth and your identity from this world, I want to encourage you to embrace what God has called you to. You are chosen. Listen, God chose Israel not because of their power or their might or their goodness. Deuteronomy 7:7, verses 7 through 9 say, the Lord did not set his heart on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other nations, for you were the smallest of all nations. Rather, it was simply that the Lord loves you, and he was keeping the oath he has sworn to your ancestors. That's why the Lord rescued you with such a strong hand from your slavery and from the oppressive hand of the Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Understand, therefore, that the Lord your God is indeed God. He is the faithful God who keeps his covenant for 1,000 generations and lavishes his unfailing love on those who love him and obey his command. And God today is still fulfilling the covenant of the blood of Jesus Christ and calls out to everyone in the world, because God chooses us not because of who we are, but because of who he is. And he's chosen people to come to repentance. John 3:16 reminds us again, for God so loved who? The world, the whole world, that he gave his one and only Son, that who? That whosoever believes in him should not be perished, but have eternal life. 1 Timothy 2, Paul says in verse 3, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. For there is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus. So, church, we are both chosen and we also freely choose him. Now, I know there are some who say, and there's theology out there, well, God predestined. Well, they say, well, if God influenced our choice, then we're no longer free to choose. That's not how it works. God loves us and has called everyone. In fact, God says he has placed his laws in your heart because we were made by him. But we have to come to the realization that he is calling us. And when we do that, when that happens, Romans 10, 9 and 10 take place in our lives. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you were made right with God, and it's by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. Amen? That's how it works. So God is calling you. He's calling everyone because he wants everyone to know him. He wants everyone to know the truth. And so he wants everyone to spend eternity with him. That's his desire. Amen. Matthew, are you joining me? Is he joining me? Or yeah, Matthew, if you'll go ahead and come. There's one other thing I want you to see today, in fact, in that second verse, and it's the Trinity at work in your life. Listen to 1 Peter 1:2. Who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of who? God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood, grace and peace be yours in abundance. I want you to notice the Trinity here. Matthew, go ahead and come. God the Father chooses us. God the Son makes our salvation possible through the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ. And God the Holy Spirit is at work in us to sanctify us so we can be made holy. Church, the Trinity is at work, and Peter sees that. Church, God is on our side, and God is working to help us grow in him. And today, God wants his grace, think about it, and his peace to be yours in abundance. His grace and his peace to be yours in abundance. I think so many times we could get this mindset that, yeah, God loves me, but he's chastening me in a negative way instead of for a positive way. And others just don't know how God could love them. But I want you to know God loves you. And he doesn't call you because you're great. He calls you because he just loves you and wants you to know his grace and his peace. Today, I don't know where you're at in your walk. I don't know what's come your way. I don't know what wants to deter you in this world. But I'll be honest with you, and as of recent, we've had some key ministers of the faith. And things have become known and aware, and they're falling. Church, as a minister of the gospel, I want to be very, very careful because the Bible says in me correcting or me doing anything, I need to be careful lest I fall. So I want to be very, very careful in how I live. But I also want the church to be very careful in how you live because I don't want you to get drawn away. I want you to know the grace of God in abundance. I want you to really rest in that grace and go, man, God, you really forgive me? I don't know if you, other than the grace of God, have felt the forgiveness of another person. But church, if we do not walk in that in abundance, the enemy will continue to draw us back to our past. We've got to have that abundance of grace to know how much he loves us and what he did for us. He didn't just come and go, oh, nail me to a cross, but he suffered for you. In fact, the Bible says he became sin. Not that he did sin, but he became sin. He took all your sin on himself so that you would not have to bear that kind of weight eternally, but so you could have the grace of God and be redeemed. And so I just want to confirm the grace of God in your life, because as we walk and we really choose to say, God, I'm keeping my eyes on you. God, I'm really focusing on you. And God, I'm going to be different than this world. You're going to see the grace of God at work in your life in a greater way, but you'll begin to see it work in the people's lives. Why? Because they're going to want what you've got. The second thing is, I want you to have peace and abundance. I don't know how many of you really live peacefully all week long. There's little fears that pop up. There's little questions. There's things that go, well, I didn't like it that way. Church, what if you had peace in abundance? I mean, heaven's your home. What better, what more could you ask for? See, we want it so easy while we're here. But your peace has to come from God. Not from the world. Not its attacks. And go, well, I just want to be at peace here. Your heart has to be at peace. Knowing that I'm living for Him and my eyes are focused on Him. But that's going to be your choice. And as we walk through this study, and it's going to take us several weeks. I'm going to tell you right now, if I've laid it out right now, it's looking like it's going to take us to August. Why? Because I want to walk through this, not just to say we went through it, but that we were changed by it. Because I'm about to read about a guy who's writing to me who had many, many, many mistakes, but grew to where God grew him to and put him in a position as an apostle and said, you know what, he's going to help lead my early church. If he can lead the early church, you think he can lead the church of today? When there were no Christians? I think he can help us today. And so let's grow in the grace and the peace of God in abundance. But your choice. With your heads bowed for a moment, I don't know where you're at in life, and again, the salvation of the Lord is for you, and maybe you need to surrender your life to God today. He loves you, He gave His life for you, and He wants you to experience heaven with Him. He's building a city for His people. And if that's you today, say, I need to surrender my life to God, would you just slip your hand up for a moment? Just looking for a moment. With your head still bowed, how many, maybe today, you just say, boy, I need more peace. If that's you, just slip your hand up and say, there's just things that are just, yeah, just struggling. I mean, just life is just pushing in. I want you to have that peace in abundance. And I'm going to be praying that God is going to speak to us in a powerful way through these weeks. And if He comes during this time, praise God, because we got our eyes on Him. If we have to walk on the other side of this, we're going to have grown. Heavenly Father, today, I pray. You saw those hands, and Lord, I saw a few. Lord, I lift them before you. I pray you help bring those names to my mind. Because God, I want you to give your abundance of peace to your people. Paul or Peter would have never written that if it wasn't led by the Holy Spirit. And you led him to say you want the church to know the grace and the peace and abundance. So God, would you give it to us today? Rest our hearts and our minds with the peace of God that passes all understanding. And it will guard our hearts. So help us live there, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen? Amen. Well, I'm excited to walk this with you. I just want to lay a foundation because we can get into it, but why? Why? Here's the why. I believe it's come from an apostle. I believe we need to realize we're just temporary residents as we walk through it. And secondly, you're going to be encouraged while you walk. Amen? And we can do this. Amen? So, it begins by having that Jesus-filled life. That Jesus-filled day. So here's what I'm going to say. I usually say a Jesus-filled week. But I want you today just to have a Jesus-filled day. Just do it today. And you can choose to do it tomorrow too. But I pray that for you, church. Because I want the peace of God to rest on you. And the grace of God just to guard your mind. Because I'm telling you, we have an enemy, but we also have a Savior. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week in the Lord.